Hi there, this is Kevin Skinner, pastor at First Baptist Church in Stockdale, Texas, and welcome to our weekly message podcast. If you live in the Stockdale area, then I would invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. to worship with us in person. You can also check out our webpage at fbcstockdale.org. Here at First Baptist, we are a community church with a kingdom mission, and we invite you to join us on that mission.
Well, I want to start off this morning by introducing you to a man by the name of Charles Finney. Finney lived from 1792 to 1875, and through much of his adult life, he was a passionate revivalist speaker. In fact, he garnered the title by many, the father of the modern revival movement. And his evangelistic style really paved the way for some of those that we're more familiar with, like D.L. Moody and Billy Graham. Now, because Finney preached at all of these revivals, he was certainly well known in his time, but there was another significant man at that time, a lesser known man, but he also had a powerful calling. His name was Daniel Nash. In his lifetime, Nash didn't author any books. There are no pictures of him or even diaries that can be found. He pastored a small church in the backwoods of New York that no longer exists, and most of his messages have all been but forgotten. Yet Daniel Nash saw revival, and he saw revival in his lifetime because of his obedience to the calling on his life. So we're in a series right now titled Called Out, and as we're going through this series, we're looking at individuals in Scripture that were called out by God for His plans and His purposes. But not only are we looking at individuals in Scripture, I'm also encouraging us to ask this question of ourselves here at First Baptist Church Stockdale. Are there individuals at First Baptist Church Stockdale that God is calling today? Are there individuals that God is calling to vocational missions or to vocational ministry? And I've even asked us to personalize this question and ask, is God calling me? Now, as we think about the calling that Daniel Nash was obedient to, it went beyond simply pastoring that small church in the backwoods of New York. Rather, Daniel Nash was obedient to the call to pray. A calling that I might add is on the life of every single believer. We are all called to pray. But Nash took that call to pray seriously. And because he was good friends with Charles Finney, he was committed to praying for the revival services that Charles Finney would lead. And so Nash would arrive to the town where Charles Finney would eventually be preaching. He would arrive days earlier, and he would simply rent a hotel room or he would borrow the basement of a local business, and he would begin to pray. Sometimes he prayed alone, sometimes he prayed with others, but he simply began to pray, asking God to move in these revival services. And as a result, Nash got to see God do some mighty things in and through the revivals of Charles Finney. Now, I share this story because I think many times when we think about God calling us to something, many times as we even ask this question, is God calling me? I think it's easy for us to only think of those positions that are well known by others. And maybe that's because of the celebrity culture that we live in today. But I want you to understand, God is not calling us to make our names known. God is calling us to make His name known. Now, sometimes our names do become known in the process. But I would say many times and more often than not, as we walk in obedience to the Lord, as we simply obey the Lord faithfully, more often than not, our names never become known. We receive no glory whatsoever, and that's okay, because we are not walking in obedience to the Lord to bring ourselves glory or honor. We walk in obedience to the Lord to bring glory and honor to Him. God is not calling us to make our names known. God is calling us to make His name known. And so as we look at our passage this morning, we're going to look at the lesser known individual in our passage. We're going to look at the calling of a man by the name of Ananias. So if you have your Bible, you can turn with me to Acts chapter 9. We're going to look at verses 10 through 19 this morning. Acts chapter 9, verses 10 through 19. Now, as you're turning there, let me set this up for you. This passage may be familiar to some of you because in the first 9 verses of chapter 9, this is where we see Paul's encounter with Christ on the road to Damascus. And I would say that Paul is certainly the more well-known individual in our passage, having written many books of the New Testament and having proclaimed the gospel faithfully following his conversion. But beginning in verse 10, we're introduced to this man by the name of Ananias. And while Ananias is the lesser known of the two individuals, his calling and his obedience is just as significant. But before we look at the calling of Ananias, even though we're not focusing on the calling of Paul today, I do think that there's a couple of important truths that we can glean from Paul's conversion. First, our initial calling is always salvation. As we've been going through this series, certainly I've been focusing on whether or not God is calling you to vocational missions or vocational ministry. But I've said this the last several weeks, and I'll say it again at the end of the message today. Before God calls you to anything else, if you've never surrendered your life to Christ as Lord, first and foremost, God is calling you to salvation. God is calling you to recognize the sin that's in your life, to recognize that Jesus died for that sin, and to turn from your sin, confessing Him as Lord. First and foremost, God is calling you to salvation. Jesus is the only way for us to be saved. And so if you've never confessed Jesus as Lord, if you've never surrendered to Christ as your Lord and Savior, then my prayer is that today you would hear that call to salvation, and as you hear that call, that you would respond to that call, that today you might be forgiven, that today you might be saved. So our initial calling is always salvation. The second thing we can learn from Paul's conversion and Paul's calling is that God can use even the biggest of sinners. If you look back at verse 1 of chapter 9, it says, "Now Saul was still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord." Now I realize that I've been referring to him as Paul, and here the passage refers to him as Saul. That's because Saul was his Hebrew name. Paul was his Roman name. And contrary to what you might have heard at times, God did not change Saul's name to Paul. In fact, we see God continue to refer to Paul as Saul here, even as we continue through this passage. But what happened was as Paul began to preach further and further into the Gentile world, as he was proclaiming the gospel to non-Jews, Paul began to go by his Roman name, the name that we're more familiar with. But even though God didn't change Paul's name, God did change Paul's life. Because he went from breathing murderous threats against Christians to proclaiming the gospel of Christ as a Christian himself. And while we might think that God could never or would never use such a horrible person, we can look to Paul and be reminded that God is big enough to use even the worst of sinners. In fact, I would say that Paul's testimony was so strong and so impactful because God changed his life in such a dramatic way. And so I would encourage you today, if you would look at your life and say, God could never use me, or God would never use me because, man, look at my life, look how horrible of a sinner I was in the past. Look at all of these things that I did. If you would say, God could never use me because of that, listen, that could not be further from the truth. If you have responded to that call for salvation, if you have turned from your sins, confessing Jesus as Lord, you're walking in that relationship with Him today, then God can certainly use you for His plans and His purposes even now. God can use even the biggest of sinners. But now as we've looked at the more well-known individual in our passage, let's turn our attention to the lesser-known individual as we read Acts chapter 9, verses 10 through 19. It says, "There was a disciple in Damascus named Ananias, and the Lord said to him in a vision, 'Ananias.' 'Here I am, Lord,' he replied. 'Get up and go to the street called Straight,' the Lord said to him, 'to the house of Judas, and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, since he is praying there. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and placing his hands on him so that he may regain his sight.' 'Lord,' Ananias said, 'I have heard from many people about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem, and he has authority here from the chief priest to arrest all who call on your name.' But the Lord said to him, 'Go, for this man is my chosen instrument to take my name to Gentiles, kings, and Israelites. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name.' Ananias went and entered the house. He placed his hands on him and said, 'Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road you were traveling, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit.' At once, something like scales fell from his eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength." Now, as we look at this passage, I want to quickly highlight what we see there in verses 17 through 18. What we see is that Ananias prayed for Paul, who had been blinded by God on the road to Damascus, and when Ananias prayed for Paul, two things happened. First, the Holy Spirit filled Paul's life, and second, something like scales fell off of Paul's eyes, allowing him to see once again. It would seem as though this is Paul's conversion experience, not while he was on the road to Damascus, but while Paul was in a position of submission, allowing for Ananias to lay hands on him to pray for him, and following the Holy Spirit filling Paul and saving Paul, we see that it's then that Paul takes the next step and the important step of baptism. So let me pause right here and say this. Baptism is not the cause of our salvation. Baptism is the response to our salvation. Baptism is not the cause of our salvation. Baptism is the response of our salvation. And this is an important reminder for us because oftentimes we pair these two things together, salvation and baptism. And so sometimes I think we mistakenly believe that our salvation is rooted in our baptism. But baptism is not the cause of our salvation. Baptism is the response to our salvation. I want you to know, baptism is pretty important here at First Baptist Church Stockdale. If you're newer with us and you haven't gathered that yet, just wait, you will. Because we have a baptism almost every Sunday, if not in both services, then in one of the services. And we don't practice baptism because we believe it saves us. We practice baptism because we have been saved. And baptism is such a beautiful picture of the transformation that has taken place in our life. It's a beautiful picture of sharing in Christ's death and burial and then sharing in his resurrection. But not only is it a beautiful picture that we're sharing in, it's also a command from God for every single born-again believer to do. We are called by God to take that step of baptism, to publicly profess our faith in Christ following our salvation. Not to provide us with salvation, but because we have been saved. So baptism is not the cause of our salvation. Baptism is the response to our salvation. Ananias prayed for Paul. Scales fell off of his eyes. He was filled with the Holy Spirit and he was baptized. But what brought Ananias to the point that he was willing to go and pray for Paul? And the simple answer to that question is that God called him to go. And so as we consider this call on Ananias' life, there are three things that I want you to walk away with today. First, God called a specific man. Let's look at verse 10 again. It says, "There was a disciple in Damascus named Ananias, and the Lord said to him in a vision, 'Ananias.' "Here I am, Lord," he replied. God called a specific man. Now, truth be told, there isn't much that we see about this man named Ananias before or after this encounter that Ananias has with Paul. But even though there's not much that we see about Ananias before or after, there are some things that we see in this verse that are important truths for us to walk away with today. First, we know that Ananias was a disciple. In other words, Ananias was a follower of Christ, meaning that Ananias lived his life in submission to Christ and in submission to the Scriptures. This is what disciples did, and this is what disciples still do today. We are to live our lives in submission to Christ and the Scriptures. And this is important because the two of them go hand in hand. Listen, you cannot accept Christ and reject God's Word. You cannot accept Christ and reject God's Word. And I give this very important reminder because we are living in a time where many might say that they are Christ followers, but they reject certain aspects of God's Word. They reject certain teachings from God's Word. But listen, to reject God's Word is to reject Christ as well. Because Christ is God in the flesh. And all Scripture is God-breathed. And so to reject God's Word is to reject the words from the very one we say we follow. So you cannot accept Christ and reject God's Word. And the opposite is true as well. You cannot accept God's Word and reject Christ. Because all of Scripture points to Christ. The Old Testament is pointing forward to Christ. The New Testament is the revelation of Christ. And so as we look at Scripture, we are pointed to Christ. And so we cannot accept God's Word and reject Christ. And so if you're truly a Christ follower, if you are a disciple like Ananias, you will live your life in submission to Christ and the Scriptures. So Ananias was a disciple. The second thing we know about Ananias was that Ananias had an available heart. When God called out to Ananias, Ananias said, "Here I am, Lord." Now, I think this is important to highlight because I think all too often when we feel like we might be called by God, when we're sensing that calling, it might be tempting for us to respond to God by saying, "Here he is, God. Here she is, God. Use someone else. Don't use me." But that's not what Ananias says. He doesn't say, "God, find someone else to do the job." He says, "Here I am, Lord." Ananias had an available heart. And if I could just encourage you this morning, when it comes to God calling, when God is calling you, would you resist the urge to point to someone else and instead make yourself available? Make yourself available to teach that growth group or Sunday school class. Make yourself available to share the gospel with your neighbor. Make yourself available on a Wednesday night to work with youth or to work with children. Instead of being resistant, make yourself available. Ananias was a disciple, and Ananias had an available heart, and as a result, God called him. So we see that God called a specific man. Second, God called him to a specific place. Let's look at verse 11 again. It says, "Get up and go to the street called Straight," the Lord said to him, "to the house of Judas, and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, since he is praying there." God called him to a specific place. Now, just like we don't know much about this man Ananias before or after this event, there's really not much that we know about this street where God called Ananias to go, other than it was the street called Straight. By all measures, this was just an ordinary street. Had it not been for God calling Ananias to go to pray for Paul there, we may have never heard about this street to begin with. But because God called Ananias to go there, here we are still learning about this street today. I want you to understand, God will often take the plain and use it for his gain. And yes, that rhymes on purpose because I want this to get stuck in your head. God will often take the plain and use it for his gain. That street called Straight was just a plain street. It was the street that Judas lived on, but it was there on the street called Straight that God called Ananias to go to, and it was there where Ananias prayed for Paul, and God saved Paul. There was nothing spectacular about that street. It was just another plain street, but God will often take the plain and use it for his gain. As we think about God calling us, it could be that God's calling someone to go into vocational ministry. It could be that God's calling us to go into vocational missions. But it could be that God is calling you to the street right where you live. A street that maybe by all measures has become another plain street to you. It could be that right there on your street, God wants to save your neighbors. It could be that right there on your street, God wants to save your friends. It could be that God wants right on your street to save someone in your own household. That street where you live, it may be plain, but God can use it for his gain. And can I just say that although Stockdale is a town of around 1,500 people or so, a town that many outside of Stockdale don't even know where Stockdale is, God is doing great things in this town as more and more people are turning from their sins and confessing Jesus as Lord. God will often take the plain and use it for his gain. So we see God called a specific man and God called him to a specific place. Finally, this morning, God called him for a specific purpose. Let's look at verses 13 through 15 again. It says, "Lord," Ananias answered, "I've heard from many people about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem, and he has authority here from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for this man is my instrument to take my name to Gentiles, kings, and Israelites." God called him for a specific purpose, and that purpose was to go and to pray for Paul, that Paul might be saved, that Paul's life might be changed, that God might use Paul for his plans and his purposes. But here's the deal. For Ananias to go and pray for Paul, it was a little bit scary. For Ananias to go and pray for Paul, it was a little bit risky. And I would say if Ananias had not been confident that God was the one calling him to go, he probably would not have gone, because it would be very easy for him to be walking into a trap. But God was calling Ananias. In spite of his fears, in spite of the risk, God was calling Ananias, because God had a specific plan and a specific purpose to fulfill by using Ananias. And it could be that in spite of your fears, it could be in spite of the risks that you see, that God is calling you today. So don't let your fears stop your obedience. Don't let your fears prevent you from going wherever it is that the Lord is calling you to go. Now here's the deal. Following Ananias' encounter with Paul, I've already said this, we don't see much about Ananias after this. Ananias doesn't go on to write books of the Bible. Ananias doesn't go on to plant churches. Ananias doesn't go on to raise people up for ministry. Paul would go on to do those things. But listen, we don't get to Paul without first having Ananias. In other words, every act of obedience to God is important. Listen, you might think that you haven't served God in a magnificent way simply because you've served in vacation Bible school. Or maybe you think, man, I haven't served God in a magnificent way. All I've done is just taught a growth group. Or you might think, I haven't served God in a magnificent way. All I've done is just given up some time on a Wednesday night to come up here to work with youth in halftime or to work with the children in Kapow. But listen, you don't know whose life you are impacting by your obedience. It could be that one of the children that you are teaching one day grows up to be a pastor. It could be that one day the children that you are teaching grow up to be missionaries. It could be that a child that you are teaching grows up to be a great revivalist preacher. We don't know who we are impacting. when we walk in obedience, but we know that we can walk in obedience to whatever it is that the Lord is calling us to do. Every act of obedience to God is important. Paul's calling was important, but so was the calling of Ananias. And maybe you sense that the Lord is calling you to something today. Maybe it's to vocational missions. Maybe it's to vocational ministry. Maybe it's to volunteer right here at First Baptist Church Stockdale. Maybe you sense that the Lord is calling you. But listen, if you have never put your hope and your faith in Jesus Christ, first and foremost, God is calling you to salvation. And if you need to respond to the Lord for salvation today, then I want to give you the opportunity to do that. In just a moment, we're going to sing another song. And as we sing this song, this is going to be your opportunity to respond this morning. Maybe you're here and you would say, that's me. I need to confess Jesus as Lord for the first time, to turn from my sins, recognizing that He's the one that died for me. He's the one that can save me. Today, for the first time, you need to surrender to Christ as Lord. If you need to do that, as we sing this song, I would invite you to respond. I'm going to be standing right down front. I'd love to talk with you and pray with you. Maybe you're here and you would say, well, I've given my life to Christ, but I've never taken that next step of baptism like we saw Christine do this morning. And maybe you need to make that commitment. Following your salvation, you need to publicly profess Jesus as Lord, just as God has called us to do. If that's you, then I would invite you to respond as well. I'd love to talk with you and pray with you. Maybe you're here and you would say, I've been visiting First Baptist Church Stockdale. And I know that God's calling me to make this my church home, to connect my life with this body of believers here, to serve this community on mission with this church body. If that's you, then I would invite you to respond as well. But listen, it could be that God's calling you to respond, to surrender to ministry. It could be that God's calling you to respond to missions. It could be that God's calling you to respond to volunteer in some way. If that's you, then I would encourage you to respond as well, to walk in obedience to the Lord, just like Ananias did. And so whatever it is that God's calling you to do in these final moments as we sing, I would encourage you to respond obediently. Would you stand with me right now? Let's go to the Lord in prayer together.
Thanks for listening to our weekly message podcast. At the end of every service, I offer an invitation to respond, and I'd like to invite you to respond today. If you'd like to make Jesus Christ your Lord, or if you'd like information about membership here at First Baptist Stockdale, then head on over to fbcstockdale.org/respond. Your response will come directly to me, and I'll follow up with you this week. God bless you, and have a great week.